Turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to Timothy. And his fellow worker, Paul, is in prison in Rome. This is the second time he's been in prison in Rome. This time he's in prison. He's not going to get out. He knows he's going to die. They're going to put him to death, and that's what happened historically. He's writing to Timothy and says, come as quickly as you can. See if you can get here before winter. He tells him even to bring some things. But when he writes this letter, he doesn't know whether Timothy's going to make it there or not. So he writes some things that would be very encouraging. In fact, he writes... And the point is, writing is that he is to encourage and instruct Timothy on how to carry on after he's gone. And I think that when we look at this letter, we say, you know, the truths in this letter are for each of us that we can apply right now as we seek to make an impact for Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we're going to see that Paul is describing his life and ministry. And this should encourage all of us, because this is what he says. He says he ran the race. He kept the faith. He finished the course. He did what God wanted him to do. He was a faithful man is basically what we'd say. And that's what we want. We want to be able to, when we stand before Jesus Christ, we want to say, I ran the race. I kept the faith. I finished the course. I fought the good fight. I did what you wanted me to do. And one day we want to hear our Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be encouraged from this passage as we study this morning so that one day we will hear our Savior say that. Well, let me remind you something. Have you ever thought about the difference between a gift and a reward? Now, think about this. A gift is something that's given freely. A reward is something that's earned. If I came to you and I said, here, I'd like to give you this gift, and I gave it to you, you don't say, well, look, how much do I owe you? How much is it going to be? What do I need to do to kind of pay you back? No, a gift is that. In fact, you can't do anything for a gift or it wouldn't be a gift anymore. Now, a reward, that's something that's earned. You do something. You could think about it. If you worked at a place and you worked for 2 weeks and they paid you every 2 weeks, or you worked for a month, so you're in there and you're working, and they really come out, and the person who's your boss doesn't come out and say, I have a gift for you. It's your paycheck. It's not a gift. You earn that. You work for that. And so the difference between a gift and a reward, a gift is something freely given, and a reward is something that's earned. Well, think about it. Salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is a gift given to us by faith alone in Christ alone. We trust in Christ for eternal life, and he gives us the gift of life. We don't earn it. There's not things we do to keep it. It is simply faith alone in Christ alone. Now, rewards are different. They are earned. And as we live our Christian lives and as we seek to serve our Savior, as we use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us, we serve him, he will reward us. We'll stand before what is known as the judgment seat of Christ. It's a reward stand, and he will reward us. So realize the contrast. Salvation, a gift by faith. Rewards earned by faithfulness. So this morning, as we continue in our study, we're looking at Paul's life and a statement that he makes about his service and rewards. He says, I'm ready to die. He's been faithful. He's looking forward to being rewarded when he stands before his Savior. And as we look at this passage, we want to think about this. We want to think about rewards. And you think about your own life. What if right now you died? To be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. So if, let's say, you're standing before your Savior, what will he say? Will he reward you? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or as 1 John 2 says, will you be ashamed at his coming? What will it be like when we stand before our Savior? We're going to talk about it as we go through our passage. Let's begin sort of with a brief review. Paul is writing to Timothy. It's his last words. He's written 13 letters. This is the 13th letter in the New Testament that he wrote. He's a missionary. Of course, he's traveled 3 missionary journeys in prison a number of times. This is the last time in Rome. And he's writing, and there's some great things. In fact, as you look at this letter, especially at the end part, there's some sad things and some good things. Some sad things because we realize that in the last days, difficult times will come. He goes over in chapter 3, and that's how he begins chapter 3. He says, just remember that in the last days, difficult times will come. We're in the last days. He says this time will come when people won't even endure the scripture. They'll turn away from the Bible and all those kind of things. So it's really sad. But at the same time, there's some good things because the charge continues in the Word of God. He continues to charge Timothy. He continues to tell Timothy what to do. And we can take from that and say, okay, as we're in this fallen world, as it seems to get worse and worse and worse, we know what we're supposed to do. That's the bottom line. In fact, if you remember last week when we started, we went verses 1-5 last week, and he said the key thing. He says, I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. And of course, we talked about it last week. When you see the word preach the word, sometimes you think about a preacher or maybe somebody behind a pulpit or some going to church and some guy preaching the Bible. But to preach the word means to announce it. It's caruso, the Greek word, which has the idea of announcing a truth. And so he's saying, give out the word, teach the word, tell people the truths of the Bible. And so we know that an application that is a church like ours, whether it's Sunday morning or grow groups or Wednesday nights or Bible studies, the Word of God is the focus. We're going to teach the Word of God. That's the key. Now, this morning, as we look at our passage, we're going to really do two things. We're going to see Paul's charge to Timothy. We looked at it last week. I just want you to review it quickly. And then we're going to see the example of Paul's life and ministry. So we'll break the passage down like this. In verse 5, which we saw last week, four key things to do. And I'm just going to touch on them very quickly because we looked at them last time. And then we see Paul's example of his life and ministry. We're going to look at what he says about the present, what he looks about his past, how he says it, and what he thinks about his future. So there's some good things there. Let's look first at Paul's charge to Timothy. And it's important to all of us, because we live in a fallen world. Timothy was in the fallen world. Paul was about to die. Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, now I'm going to be gone. You've got to do the following things. And the same way for us. We live in a fallen world, and we're the representatives of Jesus Christ, and we've been left here to carry on the ministry of Christ. If you remember last week in verse 5, Paul gave Timothy four things to do. Let me read the verse for you. It's verse 5. He says, but you, speaking to Timothy, but you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Those are the four things, and they're powerful because we can make application of them. The first one he says, be sober in all things. And the word sober there means the idea of self-controlled. It means, and it's written in the Greek, it literally says, keep on being sober. Keep on being self-controlled. Keep on being, the word has an idea of being calm. It has the idea that you're not living for yourself and your own desires, but you're recognizing that God has certain things for you to do, and you just got to do that. Not falling, in fact, literally not falling after your own desires. He's saying, you knowing what's right and what's important. That's what this means. The Christian life, we're not here for ourselves. We're here as representatives of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. We represent him. We're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. And so he basically says, listen, know what's important, be calm, and stay on the things that are right. Don't go after your desires, go after God's desires. Then he says the second thing. He says, endure hardship. Now, the truth is, as you live the Christian life, there's going to be hardships. In fact, this actually has trust God in the times of trouble. And, of course, Paul, where's Paul? He's in prison about to be put to death. Timothy has gone through the same kind of thing. All the people, especially in the first century, I mean, when you stood for Jesus Christ, the whole government in the world was against you. We have the same thing today. More and more people reject the message of Christianity, and as we stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world, there's going to be some hardships. In fact, if you remember in chapter 3, verse 12, he says, if you seek to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. And I mentioned it, and I talked about college students, that many of them, they go on that campus, and it's really a different kind of worldview there, and they stand for Christ, and they say they believe the Bible, and that Jesus is the only way, and some people make fun of them, some people, I mean, it's just tough, and you do the same thing when you go to work, and you sometimes in your families, and so when you stand for Jesus Christ, now, let me just say this, there are places in the world, when you stand for Jesus Christ, they kill you. You know, we're pretty fortunate, you can stand for Christ here, and they'll make fun of you, but they don't kill you, but there's other places in the world, they kill you because you stand for Jesus Christ. So Paul says, Timothy, be ready, man. Know what's important, and then endure, because the hardships are coming. You know, it's so easy to say, well, I quit. If that's the way it's going to be, well, it's going to be that way. You can't quit. You got to fight the fight. You got to run the race. You got to keep the faith. You got to finish the course. You've got to do what God has for you to do. You cannot let up. We cannot stop. We cannot give up. It doesn't matter how bad things get, stand for the truth and live it out. So he says, listen, be sober in all things, endure hardship. Then he says the third thing, which we talked a little bit about it last week. He says, do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is one who shares their faith, who tells people about Christ. That's the plan. There is a gift of evangelism. In Ephesians 4, he says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. There's a gift of evangelism. Some of you have that gift. I don't have that gift. I have the gift of pastor, teacher, and teacher. I don't have to get to evangelism. And some of you may say, well, I don't have to get to evangelism either, so I don't have to worry about it. No, he says, Timothy, regardless of what gift you have, you need to do the work of an evangelist. You need to share your faith. You need to tell other people about Jesus Christ, because that's the only way they're going to know. We get to tell people about Jesus Christ. All believers are to do the work of telling people about Jesus Christ. And we get to tell them how Jesus is the Son of God, how he died on the cross, how he paid for sin, how he rose again, how he conquered death, how he offers the gift of eternal life, and that the offer is whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. That's the offer. That's the good news. We got a great commission. It's to make disciples in this evangelism and training. You can't train people if they're not believers. So we lead people to Christ and then train them. So here's what he says. He says, Timothy, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Tell people about Jesus Christ. And then he finishes by saying, fulfill your ministry. And he's talking to Timothy. But the truth could be for every one of us. Fulfill the ministry that you have. It literally means to bring to completion. God has taken each one of us, every one of our lives, they're unique and different. We've all got different gifts, talents, abilities. He's put us here at this time for a particular reason. He says, Timothy, finish out what God has for you to do. And if you look back in this book, we know that Timothy was set apart. He had been sent to Ephesus to establish that church and to raise up leaders and do things. I mean, Timothy had some pretty hard things to do. I mean, he was. And Paul says, fulfill the ministry that God has for you to do. We need to do the same thing. Based on your gifts, talents, and abilities, what ministry does God have you to do? Now, we all know that we all have a particular ministry. We all have the same ministry. And that's called the ministry of reconciliation. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. We've been called to tell people how God has brought man to himself through Jesus Christ. We get to tell people about reconciliation. Every one of us have that ministry. And then based on your gifts, talents, and abilities, you have different ministries. I like what Oswald Chambers said. He says, we're not here to work for God because we've chosen to do so, but because God has chosen us to do so. He said, look, I've saved you. I want you to serve me. So what is your ministry? What is your purpose? What are your gifts and talents and abilities? How are you serving? In this local body, where are you using your gifts and talents and abilities? So what does he say, Timothy? He says, listen, Timothy, in a fallen world, I'm going to be gone. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be self-controlled. I want you to endure hardship. I want you to do the work of an evangelist. I want you to fulfill the ministry that God has for you. And that could be the same for every one of us in this room. Listen, there's a fallen world. Paul's gone. Timothy's gone. We left here. We've got gifts, talents, and abilities. We need to be self-controlled. We need to be faithful. We need to stand strong when the hardships come. We need to tell people about Jesus, and we need to fulfill whatever ministry God has for us. That's why we're here. Now, from there, then Paul talks about himself. And what he does is he talks about the present, which is right now, and then he talks about his past, and then he talks about his future. It's really amazing. Look what he says in verse 6. This is when he's talking about his present. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Now, what does that mean? Because when we look at that, what do you mean a drink offering? What does it mean? It literally says, I am being poured out as a drink offering. It was an idea of a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there were all kinds of sacrifices. You could take an animal, put your hands on the head of the animal. That animal was killed. You were identified with that animal. It died in your place. Or sometimes you could do something else. You could take bread. You could take something else. Sometimes you could take wine and come up to the altar and you could pour it out. And it was symbolic of saying, I give my life to God. I pour out my life as a drink offering. That's what it was called. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, my life is being poured out. I'm dying for Jesus Christ. I want to read something to you. This goes all the way back to Genesis. And you don't have to turn there, but this is Genesis 35. And listen to this, because this is pretty neat. This is where God comes to Jacob. You remember Jacob's name means deceiver. And God changes his name to Israel, which is Prince of God. And listen to what happens. This is in Genesis 35, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. It says, then God appeared to Jacob when he came from Padan Aram. And he blessed him. And God said to him, your name's Jacob, but you shall no longer be called Jacob. Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, and a nation and a company of nations will come from you, and kings will come from you. And the land which I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I will give to you and your descendants after you. Then God left. Listen to what Jacob did. Jacob set up a pillar in place where he had spoken with God, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it. Why? Well, you know what he was saying? I'm giving my life to God. I'm pouring out my life to God. Now, we can all do that. We don't have to pour out. We can go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your life as a living sacrifice to God. You can pour your life out to God, in a sense, by saying, God, I give you my life. I'll go wherever you want to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I give you my life. Paul is saying, at the end of his life, he says, right now, I'm being poured out. My life is ending. I've given my life. In fact, that's what drink offering is. It's his total dedication, even unto death. So Paul says, Timothy, I'm dying. It's over. I've come to the end. I'm pouring out my life. I like this because he says at the very end of the verse, he says, I poured out my life as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. The word departure, it means to set sail. It's like you're getting on the boat and they're saying, okay, y'all ready? Okay, let's go. He's saying, it's time for me to die. And in his mind, death wasn't the end. Death was, I'm sailing to somewhere else. I'm fixing to be my Savior. Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. So listen, I'm ready to die. So Paul says, right now, it's time to die. You know, when Timothy read that, what do you think he thought? I mean, Paul was like Timothy's daddy. I mean, they weren't related, but Paul was his mentor. Paul was his spiritual father. And Timothy got this letter, and he probably said, oh, I hope I can get there before he dies. I want to see him one last time. You know, Paul was amazing. Because he'd been arrested about 4 years earlier, been in prison for 2 years in Rome, then was released, went out and traveled again, wrote what we call really Titus and then 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy is now when he's back in prison again and about to die. That's his present. Let's talk about his past. That's what he's going to talk about. Look what he says. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. See, those three things. He says, look, I fought the fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I did what God wanted me to do. I want you to think about it. He said, I fought the fight. It's really the good fight. See, when you think about it, the Christian life is a battle. It's a war. See, it's not a game. It's not a game. You're in a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling and fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against wicked forces in heavenly places. It is a spiritual battle that every one of us are in. And you're in that battle. And if you're not fighting the battle, you're getting whipped. There's so many people that say, well, I didn't know I was fighting anything. Well, you're getting whipped right now because you don't even know it. And Paul says, I fought the good fight. That's why he said the good fight. Because see, this is the fight that stands for what is true and what is right. The devil is a liar. You're standing for what is right and truth, the Bible, the word of God, the truths about salvation, the truths about the Christian life. You're fighting the good fight. And you're in a battle that is not going to stop until our Savior comes back. And we're in a contest between good and evil. Are you standing strong in the spiritual battle? Paul said, I fought the good fight. Now, hey, it's past tense. I fought the fight. Paul says, it's over. I'm being poured out. It's not going to be long. They're going to come. And see, Paul was a Roman citizen, so they couldn't crucify Paul. Peter wasn't a Roman citizen. They crucified Peter. They cut Paul's head off because a Roman citizen couldn't be crucified. Paul doesn't know how they're going to kill him, but most likely he figures they'll cut his head off. He says, I fought the good fight. And then he says, I finished the course. I finished the course. And that was the course of life. He said, I finished what God wanted me to do. In Acts chapter 20, he says, my job is to take the message to the Gentiles. He would go to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. So he would go into a community, give the message to the Jews. Mostly they would reject, and then he would turn to the Gentiles, to the Greeks. And that's what he did. And he says, my job was to turn them, as the book of Acts tells us, to take them from darkness to light, that they might see the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. His goal was to make clear the message of Jesus Christ. His goal was to make disciples, to lead people to Christ, and then train them and equip them. He says, I did it. I did what God wanted me to do. Let me tell you, I hope that when we get to the ends of our lives and we know it's in, that we can say, I did it. I did what God had for me to do. I fought that good fight. I finished the course. I did what God had for me to do. And let me tell you, when we stand before him, is he going to say, good job. That's what we want. Here's the third thing. He said he kept the faith. Notice it says, I kept the faith. I want you to understand, that doesn't mean he kept believing in Jesus. That's not what it means. To keep the faith is the body of truth. It's the scripture. He's saying, I lived by the Bible. That's how I lived. I kept the faith. The faith, that's why the Bible will say, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. That means examine yourself and see if you're living by the scripture. And Paul says, I kept the faith. In other words, I lived by the word of God. And you know, so many people start off good and then they just fade away. Paul says, I made it. I have fought that good fight. I have finished the course. I kept the faith. I did what God had for me to do. Amazing. Look at our lives. You're running the race. You're fighting the good fight. You're finishing the course. You're keeping the faith, meaning you're living by scripture. We want to get to the end of our lives, and the truth is, you don't know when it's over. It could be over tomorrow. So ask yourself a question today, and I ask myself the same questions. Am I fighting the good fight? Am I standing, keeping the faith? Am I finishing the course that he has for me to do? So, present, he's ready to die. Past, faithful. Look at the future. In the future, there's something kept for him. Look what he says. In the future there is laid, verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. God has stored for him a crown of righteousness. That's a reward. It's called the crown of righteousness. It's a reward for living righteously and godly. And it's a crown. Let me tell you, in the scripture there are two words for crown. Two Greek words for crown. One is called diadem. Let me just show you. There's two words for crown. The word king, the one is diadem, and it's the idea of what a king wears. And then there's one called Stephanos. We get the word Stephen or Stephan from it, and it has the idea of a reward. So when he says, there is laid up for me a crown, it's not diadem, it's Stephanos. He's saying, there's laid up for me a reward from God. Do you understand that you will stand before your Savior to be rewarded by him? And it's based on how you live this Christian life. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation is a gift. Cost you nothing. You're not doing anything for salvation. This is as a Christian, as you're living the Christian life. How do you live? What do you do? There's going to come a time. Judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things that we've done in this body. You and I will stand before our Savior, and hopefully he will look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I have rewards for you. Romans chapter 14 says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. That's what it says. That's what it's all about. We're going to stand before our Savior. Now, let me show you something that you've all heard of crowns, and, you know, one day we're going to get crowns. And when we think of a crown, don't think of a crown like a king wears. Think of a crown like the guy who ran the race and they put the laurel wreath on top of their head. That's what this word means. And there are four crowns found in the scripture. I just want you to see them. There's one called the crown of joy, which is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and is actually a reward for leading people to Christ and sharing your faith. There's the crown of righteousness, which is found in 2 Timothy 4, where we are now, and it's the idea of faithful living and living righteously. There is one called the crown of life, James chapter 1. It's a crown you get when you trust God in the trials of life. And then there's one in 1 Peter 5 called the crown of glory, and it's for shepherding the flock. And it doesn't just mean the pastor who's called the shepherd sometimes. It's not just for the pastors. It's for any of you who are shepherding and touching the lives of other people in the body. So those are at least four places in the Bible that are called crowns, and they're called crowns that are like rewards. And so here's a question. What crowns are you going to get? I mean, I don't know. I hope I get something. I mean, I'm just glad to be there. I'd love to stand there. I want him to say, well done. I would like to receive rewards. I know you feel the same way. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to live in such a way that when we stand before him, he says, well done. So when you look at Paul's life, his present, he says, I'm ready to die. His past, I've been faithful. In his future, he says, I will be rewarded. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior. And as we are faithful, there will be crowns stored up for us when we stand before our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what does Paul say? He says, Timothy, listen, be sober, endure hardship, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Listen, I'm ready to die. I've been faithful. I'm looking forward to my rewards. That's what he said. So let me give you some applications and then we'll close. He says, let's follow Paul's charge to Timothy. What did he tell him? He said, be sober. Live for God, not for yourself. Know what's important. Endure hardship. You know it's coming. There are going to be pressures and problems and ups and downs in a fallen world. And when you stand for Jesus Christ, they're going to come after you. You stand strong and don't quit. Share your faith. Let's share our faith. Let's do the work of an evangelist. And let's fulfill the ministry and ministries that God has for us. That's what he told Timothy. That's what we need to do. The second application is, let's live so that we will be rewarded. Just remember, salvation is a gift by faith. Rewards are earned by faithfulness. So if we're going to live, be rewarded, let's fight the good fight. You're in a spiritual battle. People aren't your enemy. You may get mad at somebody and not like them. They're not your enemy. You may find an unbeliever who makes fun of you. They are not your enemy. The enemy is the evil one who controls the fallen world, and we're fighting against spiritual battle. People aren't the enemy. They're lost and blinded, the unbelievers especially. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Hebrews 12, where he says, run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus. Finish your life out. As Prof. Hendricks used to say, he'd say, you know, some men get older who've been faithful, and then they just start sliding for home. That's how he used to put it. I'm just sliding for home. I'm through. He said, don't slide for home. Run all the way through. Finish the course. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't give up and quit. Especially for some of our older people. Don't give up. Your life is not over. You're still being used by God. Do not say, well, now I'm old. Nobody needs me. We all need you. We need your gifts, your talents, and abilities. We need your work and your help. We need you in the fight. Finish the course. The last thing, keep the faith. And that means live by the scripture. It means live by the scriptures. He says, I have kept the faith. I have lived by the word of God. And the final results, as we hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant.